Welcome back to the Better Than One Marriage Podcast. Two are better than one. They get a good reward for their labor. And if one was to fall, the other would be there to pick that other person back up. We are your hosts, Ronald Corsi Jr.
and Chelsea Corsi.
And we are still married.
Indeed.
Specifically,
we are.
9 years as of a
Wednesday.
Today is Saturday.
Yes.
So we are in there like swimwear. 10 is a little better. Well, 10 is a lot better because it's a nice round number. Nine sounds like that might be an accident.
Mm-hmm.
They might have accidentally been married for 9 years. 10 sounds like you did it on purpose.
I mean, I kind of actually see it differently. I feel like 8 and 7 are kind of like weird numbers.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I feel like 9 is like, dang, y'all been married almost 10 years. Like, that's when you officially
that's funny.
Can be like, oh, almost 10 years, dang.
You're the almost.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? Just right now, take a little time. If you would like, subscribe, and share the video. If something is said you like, or if you're just a fan of the show, take this time right now. I literally never say that except for like all the way at the end.
Right.
And then sometimes I say, well, whatever. Mm-hmm. But yeah, say that. People talk about algorithms and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. If you like it, somebody else might love it.
Right.
But they'll never know if somebody doesn't like it. So.
And hopefully we hope it's helpful.
Yeah.
And not just enjoyable.
You know, it is helpful, Chels.
Yeah.
You know, we went to a wedding last weekend.
Yes.
I figured we could talk about that a little bit.
Oh, that's true.
Because, you know, people getting married. Mm-hmm. First of all, here's the marriage cheat code. Get married on Thanksgiving Day weekend, okay?
Well, that was Thanksgiving Day weekend.
That sounds crazy, right? But they know what I'm saying. All right, they know what I'm saying.
Thanksgiving weekend, yes.
Well, yes, that's really goofy. Thanksgiving weekend.
Yes.
Right? Because nobody wants to get married on Thanksgiving weekend.
It's true.
So people who cater and have wedding venues say, oh, nobody wants to get married, so we'll definitely give these people a break.
Exactly.
Because if we don't, nobody else is coming.
Exactly.
Obviously, they're crazy enough to do this, so yep. Let's just take who we got.
And it's also great because a lot of times relatives will be in town.
Yes.
At that time, so it's you don't have to schedule a separate time for them to be trying to fly out or drive up or
yes.
whatever, so that's cool too.
Definitely. That's a good one right there.
Yeah, yeah. And yes. People typically are off of work on Friday too.
On top of it, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of pros.
A lot of pros
to that. Yeah.
Yeah. Other than, you know, unless you're one of those advocates of you know, late night Black Friday sitting around waiting for stuff, shopping sprees. If you're not, those people are kind of dying out, right?
They are, because you do it online now.
You do it online.
Like, you just wait till midnight and order everything that you already had in your cart. Just
yes.
click
really
order.
Order everything you already had in your house. People, it's like, you already have this stuff. What are we doing?
Well,
here?
That's not always true. It's just that you don't got nowhere to put it. No. You ain't going to use it. You
nope.
might not open it. You
ain't
may use it twice at
re-gifted.
Best. Re-gifted. Mm-hmm.
Going to gift it to somebody else. Yeah, that's fine.
Gathering dust.
But hey.
But praise the Lord.
Yeah, that crowd has died out. Amazon put that crowd out. It's like,
but every now and then, you actually need something. It might be a good time to like replace things sometimes.
Yeah, every now and then. Yeah. I don't know.
I think we should have got a mattress.
That's fair.
Yeah.
I ain't want to, you know how I am, Chelsea.
I do know how you are. Right?
Don't disrespect me talking about you know who I am. First
well,
of all,
he
you
said
don't.
It first.
You don't know who I am, all right? 9 years means nothing.
Okay. It
takes 20 years to understand
and
this
I mean,
sophisticated man.
Let's make this even more solid. As of today's the 2nd.
Today is the something.
On Tuesday, it will be 13 years that we have been a couple.
That's a long time, Chelsea.
So we are over 10 in relationship.
Wow. You know what? Because this was my brother's wedding, my mm-hmm. little brother's wedding,
yes.
which really is almost kind of sweeter.
Yes.
Just because I feel like that's a good way to go.
Yes.
Not, you know, taking anything from my older brother.
Sure.
My older brother. All right, my older brother. My older brother,
mm-hmm.
who is older, you know, it's there's something good about getting married young because I feel like it's more helpful.
Mm-hmm.
To the relationship because, you know, you're more malleable
mm-hmm.
and generally you don't have any money.
Yeah.
You're broke. And you have to come together.
Yeah.
Like, there is no, like, hey, you do your thing, I'll do my thing.
And you're not all set in any type of ways.
None
yet.
Of that. Not
you
set.
You haven't really decided on what your ways even are. So.
That's right. So,
yeah.
And I feel like it's a good trend because we got married. Really, to me, it wasn't that young.
It wasn't that young.
Now that I'm older, I feel like it was actually fairly young.
Sure.
You know what I mean? You get
but
older.
But not as young as people make it sound like.
Nah,
people
we
was
wasn't
like,
15.
Y'all been married already?
You was 15. He was 17.
Yeah, no, not at
like,
all.
Like, nah.
What were we? We were.
I was 24.
And I was 23.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess that is kind of young. And I don't even know how. And he's 23 and she's 24?
No. He will be 22.
No, you're a liar.
No, I'm not.
He's about to be 23.
He will be 23.
And she is 24.
I still don't accept his age. Like, I just block it out of my mind. Like, no, he's not.
Man is old. Chelsea been out here.
Yeah, you're right. He'll be 23,
years.
Like, this coming week.
He done paid taxes a couple times. This man is grown.
Yeah, so, I mean, yeah, you might as well round him up to 23. So, 23 and 24.
Yeah, they're the same age we were.
That's true.
That's crazy.
That is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
But it's just a good thing. And what I wanted to say to them, because, you know, I didn't want to plan anything out because I want the spirit to be able to just move, Chelsea. And just say what he would like to say.
Yes.
And I had ideas of like, well, you know, I can touch on this, I can touch on that. But then, you know, once I get a mic in my hand, we don't know.
Ron just goes.
We just going. Let's just see what happens.
Yes.
And I wanted to touch on the fact that, you know, they're not going to be in love for, you know, forever. Maybe not even if they are still, you know, that infatuative, you know, I can't live without you sort of thing. Mm-hmm. But, you know, nobody told me. Or at the very least, nobody was having the experience of your love becoming golden.
Mm-hmm.
You know, take me back to when commitment was golden. Mm-hmm. It literally turns into something else.
It does.
That is actually better than infatuation.
Yes.
It's pure. It's tested. It's tried. And he shall sit as a refiner.
Yes.
And he shall purify the sons of Levi, purify them in silver, purify them in gold, mm-hmm. that they may offer righteousness.
Yes.
It becomes purer, more gold.
Yes.
It you know, it's not fly by night, it's not infatuation, it's not foo foo.
Yeah.
It is pure, unadulterated, golden love.
Yeah. Cause it's not till you can't go home after you argue and cool off.
Mm-hmm.
No, we're going home together. Mm. You can't just do two different things. Just I'll just do this and you do that. No.
No.
Because this is decisions we literally have to make together at times.
Yes.
You know, it's a lot of things that there's no scapegoat mm-hmm. or no exit door anymore.
Yeah, it ain't. I mean, it's there, but it ain't really.
Right. So it's like there's a lot that you can avoid when you're dating and engaged that you can't avoid when you're married. And therefore, now you have to face it head on and get stronger and more mature.
You do. And it's, wow. I mean, it's an interesting experience. Honestly, mm-hmm. I feel like. You know, that's not, and we both said something. Like, we both had something to say.
Yeah, a toast is what he's referring to.
Yeah, a toast, and it's just, like, getting older, and, you know, at the very least, people deemed us worthy to say something.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Well, I mean, you kind of slid in there.
Sure.
Because I thought you were doing it instead of his best man, but best man still did it.
Somebody else said something about it. I don't think that was him. His choice would have been just have me say something.
Oh, okay.
Because he felt like I was more trustworthy to say something. And that's fine because everybody is not.
Yeah, everybody's not the type of person that wants to get up and do that. Yeah.
Or can find their words or, you know, or can write a reasonable speech.
Mm-hmm.
You know, who knows? Now, that's funny. Somebody get up there like you wrote something down and it's like, why did you write that down? That was baloney.
Yeah.
You look like you're remembering somebody.
I am.
Oh, Lord.
No, but I was the matron of honor, so. That was more like typical for me to like, you know, that's customary.
Right.
You know, but he wanted you to say something.
Yeah. How sweet. How sweet.
Yes.
Amen. Oh, okay. So we can. Was that this guy all loud in the background?
Yes, it is. Our son is. We laid him down, but he is not asleep.
Shout out to my young boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this whole season we've been talking about. Okay, first of all, I have to rephrase that because I literally hate when people use that like structure of sentence improperly. We're talking about why should I like ew. we've been on the
no problem.
The topic of
sounded great.
Why should I get married?
Yeah.
In a time where people say marriage is not necessary or marriage is even something to not to be desired.
Passé.
Yes, passé, old fashioned
and antiquated. That's what pastor was saying.
Yes, and horrible. you know, we're talking about the reasons. We're answering your question. Why should I get married?
Oh, man.
All right.
Oh, man. Marriage is a good thing.
It is a good thing.
It's a good thing. It doesn't have to be, but it normally is.
Yeah, but I ran across this article that was talking about Gwen Stefani and her ex-husband, whose first name is Gavin. I don't remember what his last name is, but he's like the leader of a British band. But anywho, it says, he and Gwen are really different people. I don't think there's much similarity in the way we bring them up, but I think that gives them an incredible... I'm sorry, this is talking about them co-parenting. Slash not co-parenting. So it says, I don't think there's much similarity in the way we bring them up, but I think that gives them an incredible perspective to then choose which pieces of those two lives they'd like to inherit and move on with, and which part of themselves come out of the whole process, her husband Gavin said. They have three kids, and he said he wants to give them a wider view of the world. What's important is to give them a wide view of things, and we definitely have some particularly opposing views. So I think it would be really helpful for them to make their own minds as individuals. Some parents find keeping things the same across the board is helpful, but for these two, it seems giving their kids different experiences at each of their houses is more important. And I feel like culturally, like, that's really like a thing nowadays, where it's like, you know, sometimes people have a one night stand and accidentally get pregnant, and they were going to co-parent from day one because they were never a couple and have no intention of being one. Sometimes people never did get married, but they were dating. It didn't work out. Excuse me. And, you know, sometimes you get divorced, and then, you know, but this is interesting. I feel like this is a newer trend of like, we are not going to co-parent. Like, you just are doing what you're doing at your, when you have them, I'm doing what I'm doing when I have them, and we don't discuss any of it. And we're just on two different planes. Like, he's literally saying we're two completely different people, and the way that we raise our children at each of our houses is very different. But they like it and they think it's good.
Oh, I'm almost baffled, befuddled. Oh man. Well, number one, I feel like this is a prime example of godly wisdom making foolish the wise, and the wise becoming fools. It's like just the premise is just so bad that I'm almost at a loss for words. It's like, and that's what's coming to my mind. Number one, something that can be simple is becoming more hard, than it needs to be, based off of poor foundation. And the foundation is actual family. It literally is making me think of a house divided cannot stand. It's like Satan does not like family structure. When the family structure is not right, it's like you're building on a bad foundation, and subsequently everything thereafter is just messed up. It's messed up. It's like you can't, now you're like, oh, you know what, we co-parent. Number one, co-parenting is already, it's actually messed up. We're so used to hearing it, we actually think like, oh, that's a good thing. They're parenting together. It's like, no, it's supposed to actually just be parenting.
So true.
We just parent our children. Like, now that turns into, oh, we're co-parenting. Oh, we're co-parenting at two different places. Oh, we have two completely different things that we teach them. And we think it's good. It's like, no. Like, no. Like, what are we talking about? Like, that's crazy. And the fact that co-parenting is such a normal word now, it shows like how bad the foundation has been damaged. Like, it's like, you know, things that didn't occur, like you say, mass shootings, or, you know, well, there's always something, but now mass shootings or, you know, that's more common. It's like that stuff didn't exist 50 years ago. Nobody was running up to a, they had guns. Nobody was running up to schools and shooting them up. Now it's a thing. How many mass shootings? It's like, oh, so now it's just a thing. How many co-parenting couples are there? It's like, what is that? Every every couple is technically co-parenting, but why do we have to establish a word for it?
Yeah. I think the word being established for it is to say that some people, well, like, because, you know, some separations happen between the mom and the dad where one of the two just disappear. That's and fair. You're a single parent.
Certainly.
And then some happen, I guess, like these two, where it's like, I don't want to discuss anything with you about the decisions that I'm making or the life that I'm living, like, while our children are with me.
Because you have no right to that.
Because you, yeah, it's like, but I'm their father. I can do what I want to do. And I'm their mother. I can do what I want to do.
So horrible.
And we're not going to come together on it. I feel like the term co-parenting specifically comes from, we're still choosing to parent our children together, even though we are not together.
Oh, yes.
And I think the reason there's like a positive light to it is because not everybody actually makes that choice to be amicable. Right. And, you know, like, okay, we're actually going to talk to each other about what we're doing and keep each other abreast of what's going on with the kids and try to still be on the same page. And it's interesting because it's like, I feel like people pick and choose what they like about marriage, but don't want all of it. You know, because it's like, okay, I see that this is still, it's like you pick what values that all come together to make a family or a marriage. And you say like, oh, this is still important. That is still important, but we don't need the rest of that part.
What's that part though, Chels? What is that
a
part?
A lot of other stuff. It's like, so I don't have to consult you about anything other than the kids.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
Specifically, don't call me if it ain't about the kids.
Exactly.
Right.
Right. And we're just choosing not to, like, oh, we're not going to argue in front of them. We're not going to seem like we're divided. We don't want to give them a picture that, like, we are not on the same page. Like, we're still a team when it comes to raising our children.
Wow.
And it's like, yeah, that's just,
you know,
interesting.
Yeah. It is because, wow. And I'm sitting there thinking, it's like, because there is some stuff people don't want to, like, they don't want you to have to, don't talk to me about my money.
Right.
Don't talk to me about where I am or what I'm doing or, you know, really just anything that has to do with my freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, just dang it, nothing to do with you. Like, let me do me. Yeah. But I'm sitting there having the thought of, like, what about the people who are still together but are still co-parenting? Because I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to free anybody and just be like, it's all good. Like, there's probably couples and people who are married who still have that co-parenting attitude or approach, even though they live in the same household.
Yeah.
Meaning they're not on the same page.
Yeah.
We both are this kid's parent, but we're not together in a lot of stuff. And I think it's probably doing just as much damage.
Ain't no probably.
Yeah.
I mean, real life example, because it's just the way I process to be able to understand. I always think of how I can relate. Like, that just helps me to bring understanding to the situation for myself. But I've shared before on the podcast that when my mother and my father separated right before I turned 3, my mother was already interested in the Seventh-day Adventist Church and, like, you know, had done some reading and stuff. And, like, that was the direction she wanted to go. And they did not agree. My father was in the AME church.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, she had given him some literature and everything. And he was just like, nah, I'm not really getting down with that. and for those who are not really familiar with Seventh-day Adventism, it is still Protestant, but it is a very different doctrine and religion in other ways, but it's still Jesus as Savior, but it's a lot of different, it's very different. So yeah, anyway, when my mom left my dad, you know, and she took me with her, when I would be with my mom, I went to a Seventh-day Adventist church. And then when I would be with my dad, I would go to an AME church. When I'm with my mom, we're vegan. When I'm with my dad, I eat
chitlins
pig feet
for breakfast.
Literally, my dad wound up being a pastor. And it's like, because then a few years later, I wound up living with my dad. And then I would just see my mom every couple of weeks. And so, but still, like, if it was weekends, I would go to church with her at a Seventh-day Adventist church and then be going to church with my dad. At an AME church, and there was specifically a woman, you know, people like to cook for the pastor.
Yeah, they do.
And she used to make some banging barbecue pig feet. man. And she would send him home with a whole pan, okay?
People they trying to kill for pastor.
I'm telling you. And my stepmom would be like, could you please stop sending my husband this, this death food?
We'll take that pan. But just let's lay off a little
right,
bit.
Not every week. Yeah, but you know, it was, and then it's like over here, I remember they had an argument because my dad allowed me to get my ears pierced. Mm-hmm. They don't get piercings in the SDA church. You know, it was a lot of differences.
A lot of differences.
Even just Sabbath keeping. Mm-hmm. Sabbath is from sunset on Friday to sunset on Saturday, mm-hmm. versus we go to church on Sunday and there's no actual like 24-hour Sabbath
right.
period. Yeah. You know, so there were so many differences. And when I got older, I was so, like, when Ron and I first got together, I remember having a conversation with you, saying, like, man, like, now that I'm just thinking about having kids and stuff, like, I don't actually know what I believe.
Right.
You know? And, like, now I'm all having this crisis of faith where it's like, oh, no. Like,
oh, no.
Because, I mean, the reality is most Seventh-day Adventists do believe that if you are not Seventh-day Adventist, you are not part of the elect.
I don't know if it's most. Let's say a good amount.
I mean,
I don't know if we can.
Most
just,
is pretty strong.
That is kind of strong because most can be like 90%. Like, but
that sounds about right to me because there's of them who have a more reformed viewpoint, and that's in every. Yeah, that's in fair. Every more like.
Yes, all, really, the fringe ones always feel like they have that. Like we are the elect.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not like because Baptists don't feel that way.
No,
Methodists don't feel that way.
It's the ones that are more like
fringe. The people that aren't that.
Yeah.
That aren't central to like the main like Martin Lutherism.
Right, right.
You know, it was Methodist, Baptist, like even you know maybe even Pentecostal. You start going into Kojic and Apostolic and. You know, Seventh-day Adventists and...
Yeah,
know.
They have their own...
Y'all ain't saved.
Yeah, they all do. Right, they
you.
Do.
Sorry.
If you ain't one of us, you ain't going to make it in because you don't do this. If all the ones that have more requirements.
Sure.
More legalism is really what it's called. Yeah. I ain't trying to hurt nobody, but
sure.
Like any, all of the legalistic ones, they think that they're the only ones that are saved.
Yeah, certainly.
But, you know, and Seventh-day Adventism is very legalistic, but there are some more like reformed ones who understand... like the gospel of grace and everything, but still feel that God called us to do certain things. And, you know, that's fine, but not for the sake of salvation. But anyway, that's like, yeah, this is making me think of that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it wasn't only that, like it was earrings. It was me getting a relaxer. It was me, everything. You know, like eating. It was me dressing. It was me going here or celebrating this. You know, there were so many differences.
In the parenting,
mm-hmm. where it was just these opposing viewpoints of what it should be. even on the flip side, like my dad didn't like that for those couple of years when it was just me and her. Like before I lived with him when we were vegan, he didn't like me being vegan. He felt like I was malnourished.
Mm.
You know, there were a lot of opposing viewpoints.
Mm.
And that's what you escape when you choose like, okay, we're still going to talk about how we're raising our children together, but we are not going to be together. It's like, but now how do we decide what is up for debate and what's not?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm still kind of going to just sneak and do what I want to do over here to a certain degree,
yeah.
You know,
thinking versus, that the kids don't see it.
Exactly. Versus if we are actually married, and for the record, I'm not trying to throw my parents under the bus, you know, divorce can be complex, but as far as like necessity, but anyway, you know, versus let's stay together and figure out how to come to common
ground.
Just make decisions together like this is what we're going to do and somebody having to concede or us having to compromise.
Right.
We get out of that
because
now we don't have to.
Yeah. I think that's actually a really good example just based off of us because, you know, my parents aren't always on the same page.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's kind of funny. I think Bill Engvall tells a joke about, you know, coming together with his wife and says, you know, all right, honey, you know, what are we going to do concerning decisions? And he says, okay, how about this? I'll make all the really big decisions and all the other small decisions you can just make. You don't have to ask me about anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't need the input, nothing. You know, you just make them. She says, okay. And he says, and we haven't had a big issue ever. We've never had
that's
a big,
hilarious.
Exactly. So she's just been making all the decisions. Hey, that's not a big thing. That's no problem. But I feel like sometimes it can be like that. What's mm-hmm. big to you and what's big to, you know, what's big to her, what's big to him mm-hmm. can be two different things. Mm-hmm. But I think they do have some sort of consensus, but definitely they don't always, you know, they didn't always see eye to eye about everything. Mm-hmm. But I feel like my mother would say, you know, at the end of the day, you know, he is the decision maker.
Yeah.
But I do feel like there's a part that's like, hey, this isn't no big decision.
Right.
you know, I'll just do whatever.
Of course, because it's easier when it's not that deep. yes.
But it's like co-parenting is like sometimes it can get lost in the actual art, in my mind, like the doing of the co-parenting can get lost. The children can get lost in it.
Yeah.
In that, like, you don't think that the children, like, they see.
Mm-hmm.
That's a hard thing for us to actually realize, not only with your co-parenting, but your life in general.
Mm-hmm.
The people that are coming behind you that you made, and they see everything.
Mm-hmm.
And they get it all. They get it honest.
Yeah.
It's like there is no do what I say, not what I do. They are mm-hmm. going to do what you say and what you do.
Yeah.
Whether it's good or bad,
mm-hmm.
they're going to talk like you. They're going to act like you.
Mm-hmm.
So now you can't allow the children to get lost in your co-parenting. And really, they can't get lost anywhere in your marriage. Yeah. As much as you think they can, they can't.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you losing them is really you abandoning them.
Mm.
You know what I mean? You disciplining them is really you loving them.
Mm-hmm.
It's like what you give them, they're going to get however you gave it. The same
right.
spirit in which you gave it is how they'll get it. If it was haphazard, they're going to get it haphazard, and it's going to turn into fruit
yeah.
of like, hey, I don't really care. If you're the parent that says everything, like, put it like this. This is an example. Give some examples because I want to make sure I'm not being too lofty. Shout out to John Piper. All right. So I won't be too lofty. But if you don't care for your child and you abandon them, they're going to have abandonment issues.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And they're going to be somebody who is untrusting of people's presence.
Yeah.
They got it honest. There is no, you know, you're not going to co-parent or your way into outside of literally sowing and reaping.
Yeah.
Like, your co-parenting does not negate
yeah.
sowing and reaping.
There you go. Yeah.
Right? So now when you have, you know, Gwen Stefani and whoever Gavin is, and they say, this is what we're going to do. We're going to co-parent, but what we'll do is do anything that you want to do over there, and we'll do whatever we want to do over here.
Which is really just not even co-parenting.
It's not. It's
I am just parenting.
Yes. You're
by myself.
You are creating a confused child.
My Lord.
That's it. A confused child who will not be very reliable in mm-hmm. what they really believe, because mm-hmm. they're not going to know. Or they'll come up with something, right?
Yeah.
But it's not going to be based off of you know, off of sound things. Like, it's like you're creating a two-minded person.
Yeah.
Like a two-headed beast. Like, well, over here, especially depending on what it is that you're actually teaching them. It's like, what are you teaching them over there?
I was going to say.
Hey, you know, you could be literally, we're Christians over here. Over here, we worship Satan.
Right.
And it's like, okay, so you're just like, yeah, that sounds great. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't. It sounds really bad.
Right.
And that's like a drastic version. But what happens yeah. when, you know, I don't have to be over here. I don't have to be disciplined. Mm-hmm. I can do whatever I want. If I don't want to do something, I don't have to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Over here, if I say I'm going to do something, I have to do it.
Right.
If I say I'm supposed to be somewhere, I have to be on time. Over here, I can be late. Over here, I got to be on time. Over here, I have to do schoolwork. Over there, I don't have to do schoolwork.
Yeah.
It's like, what do they do now?
Yeah. No, and I think what that really in essence is not teaching them anything at all.
Right.
Because now they don't know nothing. Mm. Like, and I can only imagine, like, being a young adult who now has to go out into the world on my own. Mm. And, like, I literally have no idea who I am or what I think or what I believe. Like, right. I have no grounding. That's, like, really...
Mm.
I feel like that would be very overwhelming.
Wow. But I feel like it's almost natural.
Mm-hmm.
With grounding,
yeah,
like even with
that's
grounding,
true.
Like
that's
you
still true.
Have
still
to
like
find
finding
your,
yourself.
You're still finding yourself,
yeah.
But the grounding is what, like, okay, I'm finding myself within this base,
yeah.
Hey, God made us,
right,
and Christ is real,
right,
and you know, do stuff to glorify Him.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's my foundation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, where do I fit in?
Yeah,
as opposed to, you know, none of that,
right.
Yeah.
Because there's a difference between what is just general right and wrong, what mm-hmm. is just general good principles, like good morals, good character traits,
right?
You know, versus what is my purpose.
You're right.
I feel like really what the finding yourself typically is when you do have some sort of foundation, is just, what is my purpose, my unique, like, what is unique for me? But like, they're, and what he's saying is just like, yeah, I think it's great that they're just going to get to be their own person. And that's big with like just worldly point of view, especially today. You hear a lot of that, like, oh yeah, like I want my kids. I was watching this show called The Parent Test a while ago. I think I've talked about this before too, where it showed all these different parenting styles, and they gave the kids, you know, kind of like scenarios. They called them tests, but they put the kids in scenarios that would show like how each parenting style was affecting the children. And a couple of the parenting styles were more like child led. And the one little boy, they it was so simple. They were calling their parenting style bargaining. Because they never want to directly tell the child what he can and cannot do. They want him to arrive at his own conclusion. But the way that they do that, if like they really feel it's something that they need to basically still convince him to do, they bargain with him. Oh, you can have an ice cream bar if you do it. What?
It's not.
Anyway.
And don't even realize how bad that is.
Oh, my God. Like,
right.
So every time I want to make a good choice, I have to be rewarded.
I have
to
have some sort of incentive to do it.
Thank you. I have to be incentivized to just be a decent human. And what this resulted in was the kids had a test where, oh, it was such a good show. The kids, I actually want to watch it again because I don't know if there's any more seasons, but I actually want to watch that season again. Like literally, it's just, it's such a good premise. But anyway, the challenge was that the kids, you had to let them cook a meal with instructions without interference. And so.
Oh, yeah. That girl.
So this little boy, he was like.
What's this? Is this
gas? Child. So he was like 6 years old, I think.
Yes.
And he has this knife.
Yep.
First of all, the little boy has seen Chucky.
Obviously.
Obviously, because he saw the commercial and he wanted to watch it, and they don't tell him what to do. So they let him watch Chucky. So he gets this knife and he's like, Mommy, it's like Chucky, 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 Chucky. For those who are listening and not watching, he's literally like stabbing in the air with this knife, a huge knife.
Huge knife. Oh, Johnny. That's...
And she's just like, hold on, you're going to get hurt. You're going to get hurt. But she will not tell him, put the knife down.
Right. Woo. My
child,
God.
Like, wait a minute.
And they think it's love.
And they think it's love. I'm letting you be your own person. I'm letting you find yourself. All this stuff. No, you are letting that child hurt themselves.
Yes. Oh, man. You don't love that child.
That's not love.
It's not love.
And I mean, people are so far from the Word of God. The Word of God will tell you, you discipline who you love.
Exactly. If if your father does not discipline his son, he hates his son.
That's what it says.
Literally.
I hate you if I don't discipline you.
My God.
And I think what I've been talking to a friend about this too, in parenting, especially those of us who grew up like over-disciplined, you can be more hesitant to discipline, but the issue with that, if you don't overcome that and still find balance in that, the issue with that is it becomes selfish. I don't want to feel turmoil inside, therefore I'm not doing what I need to do for you. So really, it's not even about you now. It starts off as me considering you. It turns into me considering me.
Considering my feelings. I don't want to go in that space.
I don't want you to be upset. I don't want you to resent me. I'm scared to make a bad choice, so I'm not going to do it. This is not helping the child at this point. This is helping. It's not even really helping you, but it makes you feel better temporarily.
Feel better at the time.
And now you raise this kid, because I was telling my friend, I was like, all right, your kid crying about, you know, not wanting to do something and whining and all of that until they wear you down and you just say, fine, you can do it. You know, all right, when they're 8. Okay, but what about when they're 38 and they have a job? And the boss is like, these are the things you need to get done today. And they think that if they cry and whine, that they're going to get out of it. That's not life.
Yeah, and people think that that's an example like, oh, well, you're 38. You'll know better.
No, you won't.
It's like, no, because by the time you're 38, watch this. By the time you're 38 and you've learned at 8 that, oh, if I do this, if I whine enough, I can get my way. you've had 30 years of experience to refine it.
Yeah.
And now you're a master manipulator.
Yeah.
Because it's not going to look like, oh, I'll just whine.
Yeah.
By now, this time, you figured out ways to how can I get other people to do it?
Mm-hmm.
How can I do it but not really do it the way they ask?
Mm-hmm.
How can I do it and make it so that they're satisfied? What excuses do I have that I know will work? You've taken notes of like, oh, this person has kids. So if I say, oh, my kids have these issues, and they'll say, oh, no, I don't need you to do it.
Uh-huh.
Oh, this person's parent died. So I'll say, oh, my parents just really
yep.
sick. And they, and you have all this down.
Yeah.
But it started from, oh, if I want to get my way, I can just basically I can manipulate people.
That's it.
And that's what it'll look like.
That's it.
Yeah. Well, we don't get God is not mocked.
No.
What a man sow, that shall he also reap.
Mercy.
And it can be hard. You know, well, really, it is hard because nobody is perfect.
Right.
But you want your children to be good. Like
yeah.
people, they want their children to be good. But the way we go about it is if you take God's wisdom out
mm-hmm.
and you say, all right, well, here's this worldly wisdom where we say, you know what? This is how we're going to do our parents. We want our kids to be well-rounded.
Mm-hmm.
So we'll just, you teach them over there and you teach them over here. Not even understand. It's like,
no.
You know. The foundation that you started on was shaky.
Mm-hmm.
Blessed is the man whose foundation is Christ.
Yeah.
When the winds and the turmoil and the bad thing, not to mention these is rich people,
right.
but eventually turmoil is going to come.
Mm-hmm.
Like people who don't have the luxury of celebrity and rich, well, I don't know if it's a luxury to be a celebrity, but don't have riches and wealth,
mm-hmm.
they're going to see the turmoil quicker.
Yeah.
Because there ain't no money to cover, mm-hmm. you know, hey, nobody cared for that child. It is showing. By the time, you know, he gets to third grade, he's 8
right.
years old. And it's like, wow, it seems like something's going on at home
mm-hmm.
where these celebrities can just hide it. I can hire enough people to parent you for me if
yeah.
I need to.
And you ain't going to be upset till you realize that I
yes.
was supposed to. And that's going to
yeah.
be when you're a bit older.
You're a bit older. Now you
yeah.
realize, oh, I have some raggedy heathens. We see this all the time.
Yeah.
Or at least in theory and movies and, you know. And really in celebrity, and you look at these people and their kids, and they're like, oh, but you know, such and such his kid crashed his car again, another DUI.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just like, oh, man, now they're looking, wondering what happened. It's like, no, God is not mocked.
Yeah.
If you love your child, you will discipline them.
Yeah, that's a lot.
Yes.
That's a lot.
It is a lot.
Because even for those of us who are married and are, you know, trying to live according to the word of God and all that, like
yeah.
you said, like we're imperfect, though.
Yes.
But it's something, man, I love God because he knows.
He does know.
He knows. Like sometimes he uses things to bring you to certain conclusions and all that.
Yeah.
Like a situation that I'm dealing with at the moment, more me because I'm the one that's homeschooling our children, is our daughter. She does not want to be homeschooled. She wants to go to school.
Allegedly.
She wants, I mean, in her mind, though, as far as she knows, that's what she wants. You know, mm-hmm. she wants to go to school. This is newer, though. Like, it hasn't really been a thing until, like, this school year where she's like, hey, I actually want to go to school.
Right.
And we've talked about it. I was like, well, do you remember? Because I had briefly discussed with her why she was homeschooling, like, last year.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, she was like, no. So we talked about it again.
She just think we're here just like, oh, mom, they want us to be here. Oh, wouldn't it be better if I just went to school, right?
Right. Yes. No, but we talked about it again. And, you know, and I told her the main thing because I said, look, there's kids who go to school and, you know, God is with them at school. You know, but I told her the main thing for us is that the Lord is leading us this way, you know, and he has made a way also. He's made provision for us to be able to, you know, I'm not saying this is a copy paste way that everybody has to do it or that you need to look at your friends that are in school like, oh, no, you know, I'm not saying that.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is how the Lord has led us to do it for you. And these are the reasons why. And I did tell her because I asked her like, well, why do you want to go to school? And it was more just about like, I want to be around my friends and stuff. I did explain to her that in school, like you can't just be talking to your friends in yeah. the middle of class. Like you're still going to be doing schoolwork.
It's going to be worse.
There's still going to be a teacher.
And it's going to be every day.
And it's every day. It's longer.
It's longer.
Everything. Yes. So I was explaining to her, especially because she's already in third grade. So say we were to put her in fourth grade, I think that's the last year for recess.
Mm.
So at that point, the only time you have to like talk to your friends and hang out is lunch.
Yes.
You know, it's not like no. Like once fifth grade hits, like you're in middle school now, mm-hmm. you might have a locker. It ain't like that. I don't want her to think this is just social hour. I'm like, yeah, there's peers sitting next to you, but you literally will get in trouble for talking to them. Yeah. You know, so I was explaining to her like school, because I think what she's envisioning is that we go, and she's only been to preschool.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like, oh, we have centers. We're at the sand table. We're at the water table. Now we're playing with the coloring and
outside.
And
Play-Doh
and outside.
Yes.
So I was like, no, like that's not where you're at your age. That's not how this is gonna go.
I'm taking the SAT, girl. Recess.
I know, standardized testing and all that. Yes. Like you gonna be in school. So we talked about all of that, but I did acknowledge that I'm like, look, but if you just want to get out more, you know, and I'm a homebody, so I'm cool with us just being home. But she's like, I like going out. I like, because even our homeschool co-op, we do once a week. She's like, she was like, yeah, that's like co-op. We don't get to talk in there. And I was like, yeah. Yeah, I'm glad you have a reference point. That would be what you do all day.
Amen.
But she's like, yeah, but I still just like going somewhere else. Like that's not at home. And just like having my friends in there with me. And I'm like, okay, well, we can find social activities for you to be a part of. Like you don't have to go to school for you to have class settings. Like you could take dance class or like a drama class, or we can go to the library. They have like homeschool meetups. Like there's other ways for us to work that in more often. But anyway, we talk about all that. And then that was like 2 weeks ago. And then yesterday we were doing a language arts lesson, and there's a book that they have her reading that for reading that goes with the language arts. And her writing prompt was, I blank like to be Zoe's friend from the book. And it said would or would not. And she says would not like to be Zoe's friend. And then it said, you know, because. So that's your first point. And then also put a second point because she's learning opinion essays. So her because is because I do not want to be homeschooled like Zoe. I want to go to school.
This lady.
And I was cracking up, but I also started kind of like feeling torn inside because I'm like, well, dang, I don't want her to like grow up and be resenting us for being homeschooled and all of that. But then I thought about it and I was just like, but you know what? Like, if we feel we're doing what's best for her and that the Lord is leading us to do it a certain way, you know, like we would be wrong to let her do what she wants to do that we feel is not what's best for her.
Yes.
You know, so I just was having to go through this whole process in my mind of just like, okay, it's not what's best for you. And I don't want to make you upset. I don't like you feeling disappointed, but I love you. And I don't feel that's what's best for you right now. You know, and yeah. And I talked to a friend of ours about it, and she was saying, you know, I think when she gets older, she's going to look back and see that you actually thought about her.
Sure.
Like you took time to think it through and pray and decide what's best for her. And she's like, I think she's going to notice that and she's going to appreciate that, because she was saying, you know, like she doesn't feel that way about her mom. She feels like her mom was just kind of just doing whatever and not even thinking about how anything affected her.
Right.
You know, and I was like, wow, that's kind of deep.
That's the key. They get it honest. Like, that's if you cared, even if they didn't like it, they'll respect you and appreciate it. Because number one, they're children. They don't know anything. And they don't even know that they don't know anything.
Exactly.
They feel like they have valid opinions. And it's one of the funniest things. The older you get, the further, the younger you go, it's like you realize, wow, you don't know anything.
Right.
How did you even make it this far? Like, oh my gosh.
The grace of God.
Yeah, but of course she's, you know, as an 8-year-old now, it's like you don't know what's best for you. That's why God bless you with parents.
Amen.
Because you don't know what you don't know. And that is a hard battle. I think it's probably more of a mom battle, because you're the one actually doing it. Obviously, if I was doing it, maybe it would be different. But for you, you know, it's definitely going to be more on your heart than mine, because I would just be like, yeah, you just ain't going.
Right. Definitely would.
Okay, yeah,
just like, you'll be all right. Yeah, he won't even be.
Listen, talk about my need. I need to get a shirt saying, you'll be all right. It's going to be my catchphrase. You'll be fine. It's fine. Because I know what it's like to, you know, actually go through real things as a child.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm like, your life is pretty cupcake. You're doing pretty well. We're not rich, but you wouldn't know.
Right.
So it's like, you're doing well. Yeah. But so I don't take your opinion. I take your well-being into account, not your opinion or your experience, because your experience is what I provided you. I didn't you know, or really God, but, you know, us as stewards. And it's so important not to just, you know, not to see the forest through the trees. And I'm sitting there, or not to miss the forest through the trees. And by nature, you're trying to do something for your child. And when in nature, you're actually taking something away from them. You're trying to do what you think will help when you're actually hurting them. That's a bad woe unto him who calls good evil and evil good. And even if you're not doing it on purpose, like you, without God, you still can find yourself in that same position where, you know, you're doing something that's, and you, and sometimes without salvation, like you wouldn't know, or somebody to come by and tell you and say, hey, you shouldn't be doing that. You know, you shouldn't be disciplining that way, you know, or you should be disciplining, you know, whatever it may be. And I'm sitting there looking at my brother and, you know, his now wife and need to pray for these people. And
they're sweet.
And you know, and I've been on them so hard so that they would understand. It's like, yo, like walking the walk is hard. Because knowing what to do is like, it's elusive. It's not always, it's not like, oh, this is a glass of water, just drink it. It's not always that simple to know specifically, like, hey, what should we be doing right now as a family concerning God, concerning my walk? And I'm like, y'all need to be close to the Lord. Like, take your walk seriously. Like, don't be all laissez-faire about it like I was. You know what I mean? Like, where from the outside, people wouldn't know. But I'm like, I know now. Because now I know better. And I'm actually really walking with the Lord. So now I look back and say, what in the world was I doing? Other than just, you know,
not
being,
walking with the Lord.
Not walking with the Lord. It's like, so now the decisions you make are completely like carnal and based off of whatever foundation is left in you. I'm not going to leave my wife and children. Fine. But am I praying for them? Are the decisions I'm making at work, are, do they affect them? Am I doing, you know, am I actually doing the best that I can? Am I doing what God would actually have me to do when I don't know necessarily what God would specifically have me to do? You cannot get a discount on the Spirit of God to where you think, well, if I have just a little bit of it, that'll be enough to get me over. It's like, no, it's like, no, you need the Spirit to tell you, like, hey, don't walk down this hallway. Don't go this way. Don't say that.
I'm sorry. I just saw something really crazy. This lady gave a testimony that, she said that she was working at some place. I think she said it was a club. She was working at a club.
Yeah,
you saw that?
I heard. Go ahead.
That was crazy.
Why did I hear this?
It was like a clip that was floating around. Like
Right. Go ahead.
She was working at this club. And she said in the morning, or like early in the morning, they were like cleaning up and stuff. And something, she said there was like a frequent customer she had, because she was a bartender, and there was a frequent customer she had or whatever that she saw like walk out past the door outside or whatever. But something told her go lock the door. So she went and locked the door. And then she said she went back in there and was sweeping or whatever. And then, like, her boss came over to her.
And said, let me sweep or something.
And he said, let me sweep. And she said as soon as she moved to the side and he stood right where she was standing, that customer shot him through the window or something like that. And I was like, whoa. That's crazy. But, like, literally, I feel like when we realize our like realizing just how much you really need God and just how beneficial his Spirit is, it just changes everything. It changes everything. We do not realize how ignorant we are. Like, we really don't.
Ignorant.
I'm telling you. Like, we literally are. And when I say ignorant, I don't mean ignorant in the slang way of rude. I mean it as in without knowledge.
No clue. Not even
without
close.
A clue. We don't realize how ignorant we are. And how much and how infinitely knowledgeable and wise he is. And he is offering that wisdom and that knowledge to you.
My Lord.
And the way that you are going to navigate your life with him being your compass is totally different than when you do it out of your ignorance. And there's just so many people. I mean, first of all, I mean, I'm not, even when you know, you kind of still forget You know, but the more you realize, the more you walk with him and experience that wisdom and that guidance and everything, the more you're going to be like, that's not something I want to live without. Mm-hmm. You were just saying something very similar last week. There was like, once you experience what it's like to really be in the presence of God and really be in relationship with God and really commune with him and walk with him, the more you're like, ooh, I need as much of that as I can get.
Literally. Literally, as much as you can get.
As much as we can get. And it's like, those of us who are aware, praise God, you know, we seek it out, but still not perfectly and consistently. But those who are totally unaware, it's like, man, I can't even imagine at this point in my walk. I can't even imagine what that's like for me to just get up in the morning and just figure out what I'm doing with my life. Like, where in the world would I be? Where would we be? Where would our children be? We would be somewhere not co-parenting. Like, have mercy. And it's like, God bless them. Have mercy on them, Lord.
Yeah, have mercy.
You know, it's not to cast any aspersions on any of the people we're discussing. It's to bring light.
Yeah, change their heart.
To the fact that, like, we need Jesus.
We do.
Because this is the type of stuff we do when we don't consult him.
Right.
Like, man.
Amen. So, I think we'll conclude on that note, in that the key to really all successes is Christ. He set it up that way. You know, the Lord set it up that if you really want to have a successful life, it's like you can't really do it without Christ. And by that, I mean, you cannot fulfill your life's purpose, which is found in Christ, without Christ. You can do anything you want on this earth, but you are a spiritual being first. And that if your spirit is not satisfied and that God does not approve, then you are not approved. There is no, I don't care what men say about anybody. I don't care how successful, how rich, how influential, how celebritous, if that's a word, how, you know, how championing, how defiant, you know, how warrior-like. It does not matter. If God is not approving of you, then you are not approved. And you are not a part of the elect.
And it won't last.
And it will not last, because eventually you will die. And when you die, you will stand before God. And there will not be much you have to say. I'm going to be honest with you. And, I'm sitting there saying, when people say, Lord, didn't we do this in your name? Didn't we do that in your name? In my mind, it's because people think that they are good people. Like, we all think like, oh, I'm a good person. We really think that we're good, as if God, number one, doesn't know the wicked things that we've all done secretly and in shame. And we think that there's some sort of outweighing, like we have some scale where we're going to be like, oh, well, I did enough good to cover. And God, he's not going to worry about the good. You were supposed to do that. And I can see it right now. You stand before God and here he's showing the real. Here's the real, all the bad stuff you were doing. Here's all the shameful stuff. And you think you're going to be saying to God, like, oh, I was a good but I was a good person. And he's like, oh, let me show. Okay, cool. He's just letting it roll. Cool. He's watching it. You watching it. And now you want to say to God, this is what they want to say. Oh, but I was a good person.
Right.
And he's like, exhibit A.
Just all of it being
here it is.
Up.
Here it is right here. This is all. This is what I'm sorry. I was seeing this. I know you felt like you was a good person. That's cool. Right. So then they say to him, but didn't we do this in your name? And and didn't we do that in your name? And he's going to say, depart from me. Workers of lawlessness. But that is not so. For the Christian, because your sin has already been covered.
Thank you, Jesus.
So now what he is showing, this is the real of all the good you did. Right? The bad you did is covered. You know, you don't get rewards for that. Here's the good. But now he's going to weigh it. He's going to weigh the motives. He's weighing why you did it. Right? Did you do it for the right purpose? Did you do it to be seen? Did you really do it for me? And then you have that.
Wow.
So when I was...
Go ahead.
Well, no, I was trying to conclude.
I know you were trying to conclude.
Well, just go ahead and say what you need to say.
No, because Carlton Pearson just passed away. And, you know, the whole thing with him coming to a point where he started to preach that there's no hell and that everybody goes to heaven. And I couldn't help but just, like, that was just replaying in my mind the whole time. Like, my friend said his funeral was yesterday and she was watching it live. And she was saying, like, it was just such a wonderful praise and worship service. And I'm like, I'm sure it was, but I couldn't help but to just wonder. But where is he? Because if you're preaching that, you know, everybody goes to heaven regardless, then you're preaching that we don't need a savior. So even if you're aware of Jesus, like, are you accepting the atonement? You know, are you accepting of his sacrifice for your sins?
Yeah.
Because if it doesn't matter, like, if your sin does not matter and you're just going to heaven, period, it's like at that point we're kind of like just not appreciating and really fully understanding the work of Christ on the cross.
Right.
And it just, yeah, I just couldn't help but to wonder, like, but was he like truly saved? Like, because if you feel like you don't need to be saved and you're just going to go.
Well, no, I don't think he was. I don't know if he was saying that. I feel like that's why I didn't necessarily want to go in, because I'm like, I don't even know. Like, I don't think that's necessarily what he meant, because I think he does believe that we needed a savior. However, he believes that the saving was done. Right.
For everybody.
For everybody.
Like, not whether that, not that we received it or not.
Correct. That's what I believe he believed. Right. But obviously, we don't believe that.
Right. You have to receive it.
Well, yes, there's that's why they called him a heretic. And, you know, because it's so against scripture that they had to. Yeah. They had to call him a heretic. But, you know, he did do a lot of great things.
I'm sorry, I just had to say that, because when you were saying, like, you know, there's people that were good people,
right,
by any man's standards, and that did a lot of work for the kingdom by any man's standards.
That's it.
But, like, did you receive Jesus Christ?
Yes, that's
your savior
and Lord.
And Lord,
really, Lord is the
yikes.
Because yeah,
did you?
That's
hope so. I pray so. But,
I hope so. I can't say
that was what I thought about.
Right. I don't know. You know, I don't know where he came up with.
Yeah,
stuff.
We don't know for sure.
I don't know. But once again, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord.
Yikes.
Right?
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, we all have to give an answer.
Yeah.
And for those, and I'm speaking really, because I just have my, you know, these newlyweds on my mind. I just hope that they take the Lord seriously, and get to know him better. Because that's really the walk. The walk is getting to know God better and communing with him and being able to have intimate relationship. Relationship makes all the world a world of difference.
It does.
In your walk and going forward. And it'll definitely make a big difference in your relationship.
Yeah.
The intimacy you have with your wife, God wants to have the same intimacy, or your spouse, God wants to have the same intimacy with you and be close and to know you in a deeper, meaningful way.
Amen.
Amen. I love you, baby.
Love you too.
Love you all. Y'all know. Indeed. All right.